Greetings, and welcome to Chili's. I am Orion P., and I'll be your server this evening. Now, today is Nacho Mondays, and we're about a half an hour away from happy hour. Can I get you anything to start on this fine Monday?
So could you tell me about these happy hour specials? I see that you have 16-ounce beers here. Are these
16-ounce beers and 16 ounces of nachos. The nachos are corn chips and Doritos with melty cheese, cheddar, Colby Jack, and, of course, Monster. No matter the cost. You can pay as much as you want or as little at happy hour is what I meant to say.
You really look a lot like Optimus Prime.
Oh, citizen, I get that all the time.
I mean, you
I can assure you my
robot.
Name is Orion P., and I am, of course, your server this evening.
You are a giant robot with a truck face. I feel like you're...
That guy is a guy who leads the Autobots to victory. I'm a server here at this restaurant, and that's really all it is. I'm not someone who spent way too much money stopping Megatron, no matter the cost, and needed a side hustle. That's not who I am. Well, fine.
I'll go with the nachos, I guess, since it's your special. And
excellent choice.
Just give me a bud or something, you know, or whatever your local beer is. Right?
I'll be right back after I roll out.
Darren and I. This is episode 3. This is Nye. I'm coming to you from SoCal.
That's not the shitty alcohol Southern Comfort. That's Southern California for
Southern
anybody.
California. Yeah.
I'm from NorCal, and that's not a that's not some sort of narcotic. Although, depending on the THC level that you're smoking, that could be a narcotic.
Yeah.
I'm Darren Jennings. I'm coming from Northern California over here on Alameda Island.
Yeah. Welcome.
Welcome to you.
Great episode tonight. Tonight on the show, we have the very lovely Jen Remington, not just in musical form, Darren.
No.
She will actually is the guest on our
She's
show.
She's going to be here? Oh, man.
That's right. She's going to be here. And she has decided to join us with our chat about fantastical weapons or just weapons in general.
She's going to talk about like dork stuff with us. This is like we all sort of collaborated on a nerdy show before this. And now we're collaborating on a nerdy podcast together. This is exciting. This is going
to
be good.
You have to figure out how to get chicks into your nerdy conversation.
That's exactly right. And that anybody listening to this, this is how you do it. You invite them to a podcast. You don't talk to them at a bar. Just look at your phone. Just get back to looking at your phone if you're in a bar. Don't look up.
That's Sorry. Right. So let's before we get to our fantastical weapons and our interview with Jen or our hangout with Jen, let's say, let's get to the news that's relevant to us.
Let's talk about what's been going down. Yeah,
what's been going down. So
like to say that the fire, the NorCal fire is 100% contained after a couple of days of rain and some very awesome firefighting.
That rain helped a shit ton, right?
That helped us out a bunch. You know, anyway, so it's a done deal, except that, you know, there's a whole bunch of other fucking work.
So the world may not be as much on fire, but, or maybe it is in different ways. Our first story comes from The Economist, which is their The World in 2019 issue that just dropped, where they cover a bunch of things that are going to be happening in 2019. Big story from it that 2019 is the year that millennials, the number of millennials on the planet will cross the number of baby boomers on the planet. So the millennials will officially be the dominant generation.
Boomers can no longer actually get millennials off of their lawn now. Millennials if you're a millennial, you can just go to like your neighborhood boomer's house and just stand around on their lawn looking at your phone and that they can't do anything about it.
But I mean, we're kind of the in-between generation.
That's right? What I was going to say, because neither one of us are a boomer or a millennial. Technically, if you look at the time frames that they give you.
We're squished between these two major generations that are now swapping. And we're being in the 40s range as you and I are.
We're the Pepsi generation. Is that what they call us?
That- think we're Generation X.
Or Generation X.
Oh, whatever. Second story. This one comes from TheGuardian.com, but it was in many, many places, but no one seems to care, Darren. NASA's Mars lander sends back first pictures from Red Planet.
That's fake news.
Insight probe reveals desolate landscape as dust settles on the planet.
Read that on CNN?
I love it that there's pictures of like these guys from NASA and they're like celebrating after years and years of detailed it. It just like
the I have no idea no that it even cares. Happened.
No one cares. Isn't that sad? That
because our country turned into a tire fire 2 years ago. It's just.
So this is great. Give some support to NASA people. Seriously, love NASA.
It's insane. I was reading that today it sort of unfurled its solar collector thing to like sort of power up its batteries. It flew to fucking Mars. It landed. It didn't blow up and it's there and it's ready to go.
Right. But all we care about is like Viagra and Minecraft and fake news.
Yeah, and Ivanka Trump.
And Ivanka Trump. Mm. Right. Our next story comes from The Verge. Darren, Red Dead Online early hours are full of violence, beauty, and annoying griefers. I mean, neither of us have been able to play Red Dead 2, and you haven't even played Red Dead 1. So,
I never played Red Dead 1. It's they want it. They you got to buy an Xbox or is a PlayStation. It's one of the two, and they don't. It's not. Is it just it's just console? Is it just one specific console?
I think it's just console. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what Rockstar's focus is, but some of the reports that come in is that it's kind of douchey. I mean, they're still very early. I think they're still in beta right now, but like. Basically, there's a lot of jerks. A surprise.
They need to move some of the haters. They need to move some of the haters from Fallout 76 over to Red Dead Redemption 2 because Fallout 76 has taken a walk. I mean, they just came out like a week ago and everyone like the massive mob of people who can't be pleased by movies or video games or any kind of fan service have moved on to Red Dead Redemption Online and now they hate that.
Right.
But give them another like a couple of days. They'll find something else that they like.
It makes me wonder if you're a video game company, why do you release an online component where you're just going to get a bunch of jerks fucking with you and people complaining about it?
Yeah. I know, especially since like the business model of it sort of fallen through. You can't do a subscription anymore. You really, really can't do microtransactions because Battlefront 2 sort of crushed.
Yeah, I still want to play it. I wish I had time to.
Battlefront 2 is gorgeous.
You said something about 3D printing. Was that what you wanted?
Yeah, I was going to piggyback onto the Mars thing. Is that
Mars lander?
There's a startup called Relativity, and they have taken 3D printing to sort of, you know, I mean, it's sort of a next logical step. They are 3D printing massive rocket parts. They built a fuel tank that would normally take months, and just like the amount of manpower to weld, they shat it out in like a couple of days. And apparently, the way that 3D is, they have the largest metal 3D printer in the world. The way it works, they've named it. It's named Stargate, and it's this thing can. The way that it welds like way, way better than a human can just by the nature of 3D printing and the uniformity of the pieces. So potentially, I mean, they could make a rocket ship that we couldn't make. So it would be, you know, that's that word, a little bit safer. And we love that.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, somewhere
safer, more productive and way, way cheaper.
And then maybe, right. You know, maybe the mass production thing sort of goes into 3D printing style.
You know, there's a startup that I read about. I'm going to have to figure out what this is or we'll see if I can put it into the show notes. But there was a startup that basically is working with Caterpillar, you know, the company that does all the construction.
Yeah, well, Relativity, stuff. Caterpillar and BMW are into these guys.
Oh, so maybe it is the same cut, but
I think it may be the same.
They have like a honeycomb sort of printing, a metal honeycomb. So, you know, if you have the digger or whatever the backhoe that you're building, they sent a truck out there that has all of the pieces in 3D model form in a hard drive. And they're like, oh, your steam valve doohickey thing is broken. Let's 3D print it using this like really advanced honeycomb metal thing and just replace the part. So the thing is, Caterpillar had to hold major warehouses full of parts, but now they don't need to keep these parts because they can just print them.
They can print one when somebody needs one. Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think when you look sort of down the pipe of like how things are going to be, you talk about how being space being a premium. And just like you said, these massive warehouses that could be used for other things.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with an unmanned spaceship to Mars, with that happening, like, I think, you know, sort of there's going to be sort of a combining there. Like, we're going to.
Oh, yeah. We're headed towards this very interesting, this interesting place. Last story of the night. This one comes from Cartoon Brew, which is a sort of an animation centric blog. But of course, this is everywhere. Very sad. Steven Hillenburg, creator of SpongeBob SquarePants, dies at 57. I mean, if you don't like SpongeBob, then get the fuck out of here.
I know, seriously, there's something just massively wrong with you. That guy is like a marine biologist who took his cartoon strip or comic strip about tide pool creatures.
Right. It was SpongeBoy was the early idea for it. And no one had any idea that this would be as good as it did, but of course it made Tom Kenny into what he is.
I mean, before
and a bunch
that,
of other stuff,
like Mr. Show, and then he like jumps from Mr. Show to like becoming 250 episodes of this.
I mean,
positive. It's
been like, at least a decade's worth of SpongeBob
came out in '99, and like there's like two movies. I think they already have like a third one somewhere that's ready to go.
Yeah.
And just an adorable cartoon with a very silly side.
Yeah, and it was the great characters.
And the Kurgan is one of the voices on there. So, I mean, that's you can't go wrong there.
Yeah, so you will be missed, Steven Hillenburg. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your work. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Jen. Jen is not only the musician for our show. She does the music that you're about to hear. She is a talented composer and a longtime friend and a longtime collaborator. So she's going to be joining us as we talk about weapons, sci-fi, fantasy, and comic weapons.
Get ready.
We'll be right back. All right. Next. Right, and welcome back. We are with
our intro music. That was
we are with our friend Jen. Jen, welcome to the podcast, Darren and I podcast.
Is this Jen Remington? Jen,
it is. It's the one and only.
Oh my god, dude! We have the maker of the music,
the very first of our guests, and also Jen. What's it like to write music for a podcast that millions and millions of people are listening to?
Yeah, because we want to be the – we want to do that. So if you can do that for us, then just – so make that happen. Thank you.
Well, first of all, thank you. You're so nice to me, you guys. Thanks so much. I like it. Yeah. First of all, Nye is awesome because we like the same kind of music. So he's like, write some music like these type of things. So I'm like, oh, my God, dream come true. So I just kind of wrote what I like, which I know he likes. So it worked out for the best. And I'm like
– yeah, I gave you like – three tracks. I was like, I kind of want one that is sort of more, you know, Chemical Brothers, and then I want one more that's sort of whatever. And
one was like funky, and then one was kind of mellow, I think.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Was he crazy abusive whenever you would send him the music and you'd be like, oh my god, what did I do wrong? Was it
he'd be like more clarinet?
Yeah. No, what the hell? Why can't I get more clarinet in this? Yeah. No, I know.
I've always been abusive to you, Jen, right?
Yes.
I mean, I think it's
like
always
over the top, like cartoony.
Productive.
Oh, well, good. Well, at least there's a positive.
Yeah. No, actually, the total opposite. He's awesome. So, nothing but positive comments, I think, actually, when I sent stuff over. So, I've always liked working with Nye. And
so he's just been delivering cuddly nigh. Like he hasn't shown you the real like dragon, like, cause it's right behind there. So it's good. That's good. You must.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe if I don't know. Yeah. If I live closer or something.
This is actually the third project that we've all, worked on together. We did Madhouse. Darren was, the voice. And then also, Darren was Commander Cluck.
I had a lot of lines in that. Yeah, so yeah. You probably easily remember me from that.
You yelled something as a chicken, right?
I think the sum total of it.
A rooster.
Chicken
is a female, right?
Oh my God. So, I'm fired.
So Jen, why don't you
It's a Metroid.
Why don't you plug away for yourself for a second? How would you describe yourself creatively before we get into, you know, fantastical weapon stuff?
Oh my gosh. So much pressure. Well, I write music for film and video games and podcasts, and I do a lot of different kind of genres. I can do pretty much, you know what? I'm pretty good at, you know, fitting the bill for whatever people need. So if you're like, well, we really need some techno, rooster music or something like that.
That comes up a lot.
Do some of that.
When would you
comes
ever do that?
I don't know. If it ever came up.
Knowing your age now, it's all that now. And just like heavy clarinet the whole time. Like,
you know, and clarinet, if I ever need just clarinet, I could do some of that. I've done a lot of different kinds of things. I've done a few video games. Some of the Raving Rabbids series, starting in 2010, I've done three of those and a couple of apps for that. A few shorts with you and Commander Cluck with you. And I used to work with a couple other composers and we did some movies and TV shows together. There's so much stuff, actually. I feel like looking back, I'm like, whoa, I can't remember. I did all these things. But I started out and I was working for a composer and then ended up working for his assistant who was doing the Powerpuff Girls. So I started working on the Powerpuff Girls with that guy. His name's James L. Venable. He's an amazing composer, and I've learned a lot of stuff from him. And then he got a new show called The Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends, which is another Cartoon Network type thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I did a boatload of music on that with him. And then from there, I kind of just did a lot of my own stuff on the side, you know, some indie movies and stuff like that with other directors.
Sure.
And and I see him every so often too, but just whatever I can get, really. I'm not in a box or anything. I'll do like apps. I'll do like shorts. I'll do, you know, all genres and stuff like that. So.
Yeah. And the thing that I like about your style, Jen, is that you're very, you're kind of like free form and iterative. Like you're sort of like, hey, how about this? How about this? How about this? How about this? You know, you're kind of, you jam much more, and it doesn't seem like you just kind of like deliver a single track back.
Give them choices. That's cool.
You give choices, but also you sort of experiment with it and you play with it. And it's not like you're just trying to deliver the music. You're also trying to deliver kind of like what, or maybe this is me, I don't know, but you're trying to deliver what I'm getting at. You know, you sort of assess what I'm getting at and you play with that.
Yeah. I mean, you want it to fit, like if there's a picture, you want it to fit the picture, but then you also want it to fit what you want too. So you're actually really, really good at describing what you want and where you want things to hit. Like if there's an explosion, you want a big boom on that or whatever, and you want this certain kind of, I keep saying techno, but if you know something else, you want something goofy here. You're really good at describing that to me and then just kind of letting me go and do my own thing. So for us, I think we work really well together. There are some people who just, you know, maybe don't know the terminology that well or don't know what they want. Which is fine. So I give them a lot of options or anything like that. But it's like, I want to make sure that obviously that the end product is what you were picturing in your mind and stuff like that. So I feel like in that way, we work well together. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, your stuff is always great. And thank you so much for doing the music on this podcast. You. It's really great. All right. So, well, thank you for joining us tonight because.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. Yeah, I never get to be on podcasts. This is super cool.
Oh, well. You're welcome anytime. So tonight, Dee, do you want to give the lowdown of what we're doing for our main segment here?
Yeah, no, we're so tonight is the I keep bugging Nye to do fantasy weapons, like, not just like fantasy, like sword and sorcery, just like all the weapons that are just the best plot devices in movies and books and comic books. That, you know, some people might say that like the fantastic weapon of the hero, whatever, is just sort of there to help tell part of the story. But I think some of this stuff sort of sticks in your craw long enough that it's sort of, you compare other fantastical weapons to other fantastical weapons, and you're like, okay, well, what if I had, you know, this guy from, you know, this long running movie's like pistol versus that long running movie's pistol, like which one would be the best pistol, and like which power sword? Because there's like a ton of power swords out there, right? I mean, starting with Excalibur, right? I mean, you've got like, there's tons of magically imbued swords that can do all kinds of things, from opening Castle Grayskull to you know, cutting off your son's hand, let's say, if you got into a fight and you needed to tell them something about yourself, and it was that you were their dad. You know, and I just think I think we get a lot of traction when we sort of bracket which weapon versus which weapon and who's the winner. And I just
also, I mean, it just gives us a platform to get really stupid geeky.
Go from like zero to just like way too geeky, and just like if they were the guy at the bar, you'd be like, just put on the sports and just stop talking about fans.
You guys go to the corner.
Yeah, right. Go to the corner.
So the way we're gonna do this is we're gonna bracket between three categories. We've got the one category is science fiction weapons, where Darren and I are gonna bring a science fiction weapon in, and then the second category is a fantasy weapon, which I had a lot of trouble with. I'm just not as much of a fantasy guy as I am the other ones. And then the last one is comics, which I know, Jen, you don't really have much in the way of, but Darren and I certainly talk a lot about comics.
we'll talk your part for you. I mean,
I'll nod and agree.
Yeah. And that's always good for a podcast.
Well, I've seen a lot of, you know, made for movie from comic books. But I don't read too many comics, so
that's
I'm
all
sorry. Good.
That's all acceptable.
No, no one in our age can afford to read comics anymore.
And also, let me bring this up: is that the reason, Jen, I asked you to come on is because when I talked to you before about our last show, which Darren and I tried for a year that no one watched.
I watched it. I loved it.
Yeah, I know you did.
That's why you're a guest on this show, Jen.
Exactly. That's why you're the first.
Yes.
You said you were listening to it as a podcast, but you said you didn't understand some of the geekiness. So if there's something that you don't understand, call us out. Bring it down a level for those, you know, five or three people who are listening.
Right. Like if we're at the bar and we're all having drinks and they're sitting like a couple seats down and you hear this shit, you could just be like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right, I could also be super impressed too, because then I might not know a lot of this stuff and be like, wow, there are a lot of things I just have no clue about.
But these aren't worth knowing.
You never know. In the future, maybe you need a really big sword for something.
Jen, you are well versed in 80s movies and your own levels of geekery. So Yes. So let's start with D. Let's start with sci-fi weaponry for our first one.
Wonderful.
So what do you got? What are you bringing to the table for science fiction weaponry, and why, and what makes it your choice?
Okay, so my choice, and this should not be any shock to anybody, is the Flager Katsumata D. It's also known as the 2019 Blade Runner Blaster.
I already don't know what that is, but I'm listening to learn more.
It's the pistol that Harrison Ford's character Deckard uses in the original Blade Runner movie. It shows up again.
Have you seen Blade Runner?
Yes, I finally saw it, but I only saw it like 2 months ago. So you see how far behind I am.
It's fresh.
Yes.
it's got a certified fresh rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I think I'm barely not.
So this is a weapon that he uses to kill replicants with, right?
Yeah.
And so why is this sticking your craw as like a quintessential science fiction weapon?
Because when you look at it, it's a nuts looking pistol. It's got like, so the movie comes out in 81 and
something like that.
They have a couple of sort of glowing lights on it. And what they've done is they've taken the history behind the gun is there's a guy, his name is Richard Coyle. And in the 70s, he made mail order blasters for people because everyone was insane for, you know, fantasy or like science fiction-y crazy looking weapons.
Because of like what, Star Wars?
Because of Star Wars.
2001 and things like that. Yeah.
So he's making these by hand and he's mailing them to people who, you know, aren't going crazy with them and trying to hold places up. They just like having them in their houses.
Right. They're not taking it to
They're not going nuts. I forgot to include that part when I was writing this down. But so he's from that business, he's hired by Star Trek II Wrath of Khan to make phasers and guns and fantasy weapons for that. It leads to like his entire prop career, right? He goes on to work on the last Starfighter, but one little thing that he made, and it was the M2. It's known as the Chief Special, the M219 blaster, or the first name that was attached to it was the Flager Katsumata D. And it's this pistol. He takes the prop guy takes it's a Charter Arms Bulldog revolver. And then he chops up a Steyr Mannlicher 222 Remington rifle. And he just,
I'm looking at it right now.
Puts them two together.
Very cool looking.
He matches the mass.
It has like a bulkiness to it. Yeah.
It has a mass and a look of foreignness. And it looks like it could kill like a crazy killer robot. It looks like that would be the only gun that could do it.
It looks like, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Jen.
I was going to say, it looks like it could be from like the Old West, but also the future at the same time.
Yeah, because it's still got the bolt lever on it from the rifle.
Yeah.
And it's got the double trigger on it from the rifle, but it still has that. It still looks like a handgun.
What was the guy who did all these weapons?
His name is Richard Coyle. And he winds up going on down the road to having his own prop company, and he works all over the place. Like he's a go-to guy in the industry.
What a cool job!
Yeah, definitely. Right.
Cool guns for people, but like,
yeah, well, I mean, right? Because I mean, people need it to look a certain way. They need it to look foreign. They need, because you know, your science fiction weapon is still going to tell part of your story, and you know, you want it to stand out, right?
Yeah.
You don't want it to look like a.
It's awesome that he, like, you know, he Wrath of Khan and I mean, all those 80s things. I mean, that's.
I mean,
that's,
seriously. And then I realize, I'm like, no wonder I really like this gun, is because he then goes on to like put all of his little things and his thoughts into all these things, all these movies that I've watched religiously, like The Last Starfighter. Oh, right. My God.
Yeah. There's the scene in Blade Runner where Harrison Ford chases down the snake lady and he shoots her through the plastic and everything. And the sound of, you know, the very satisfying sound of him shooting and whatever. I mean, it's, yeah. I mean, Blade Runner, I have my mixed thoughts about. I feel like it's a slow movie. It's not a movie that has the same kind of pace as other things, but certainly as a sort of dystopian technological future, it's a great,
like a dystopian hard boiled sort of, like a detective, you know, thing that's sort of like, you don't really know what's going to happen. And then all film of a sudden noir. It all happens. Yeah. Like film noir. Yeah.
Yeah. As I jump in from nowhere, I was going to say, it is kind of more like a detective movie, but I like the new one better just to, I don't know, kind of with my 15-year-old mind, I like a lot of like special effects and action and stuff like that, but that was like really cool.
I really enjoyed the second one just because they were able to sort of take all of the things that, you know, they did to the point that the technology had at that point, and then they just went nuts with it in this one.
Yes,
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, they captured a lot of the spirit of the first one. I just sort of, you know, an old man and you know, want to say, hey, look, come on, just leave it as it is. But I thought it was, you know, it was technically very well executed. Anyway, so my sci-fi weapon, let me go on. I put a lot of things down. I went very mainstream at first one. I thought about the Death Star as a sci-fi weapon. And then for a while, I was pretty much, for most of the day, I was working on the Genesis torpedo from the Wrath of Khan it's not really a weapon. It's it could be, but then
it's a hell of a plot device.
It is a hell of a plot device. But then I settled on the alien from Alien. And I thought that was kind of a cute way of saying that this is an interesting, you know, bioweapon, right? I mean, isn't the alien itself.
The alien itself is a weapon. Well, I mean, when you think about it, it sort of works because, you know, the acid blood, right?
And, yeah.
But you've seen Alien, of course, Jen, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, yeah. Alien 2, well, Aliens with an S, I'm sorry, is one of my favorite movies. But I just saw Alien at Sinespia, which was really cool, outdoors. So I am.
Great.
Yeah.
Great. Well, I mean, my feeling is that the alien is sort of something that gets dropped on a planet and then it automatically adapts and interacts with its native inhabitants and becomes just the ultimate monster for based on whatever the inhabitant is. And so it is sort of, I mean, as what's his name? Ian Holm says, it's sort of a perfect beast. A perfection creature that, you know, gets deployed in sort of this weaponry style. So that's why I chose it as a weapon for my sci-fi. And it's also the same era, right? I mean, I think we're talking about the same era, you know, of this sci-fi stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? The parallels we're going to pull because, like, there's just, you know, you've got that, we've all got that fresh brain, like, right around there. And we see these things and it just sort of burns in there, like...
Yeah.
I mean, the alien, H.R. Giger, sort of, right? I mean, he might have had his thing with women's anatomy or whatever, but like that alien was just.
And male anatomy. I think it was like just like the head is like a big dick, right?
Yeah, yeah, with another dick coming out of it to kind of punch into your thing. But yeah.
There's no way they would ever make a movie like Alien today. Could you imagine executive or whoever coming in doing it to like Sony or whoever and saying, being like, this is what I want to make, you know? I mean, just.
Yeah.
There's nothing like that now. I mean, I can't think of anything that is that sort of.
Well, just the whole it's a CG monster. It seems like anymore. You know, you just have someone's just like.
Yeah, that was an actual guy in a suit, right? The original Alien.
Yeah, that must have been hell. But yeah,
have you seen any of the recent ones, Jen? I mean.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. What am I even talking about? I went to the theater to see that. See, I've got one like brain cell left in my head.
What, Covenant? Was it Covenant? Is that the last
one that came? I saw the most recent one, and then I was confused because I had seen the one before that. And Prometheus. I just remember Prometheus. Yeah, and I just remember the girl, like, they had to pull out the alien out of her stomach, and she got, like, stapled up again because they'd had
– Oh, yeah. So that wasn't – Yeah.
Really quickly. And I was freaked out. I don't know. I was one of those people in the theater during these two movies where I'm like, what is going on? Because I couldn't loop them all together in my brain. So I was a little slow on that.
The diminishing returns on the Alien franchise. I feel like
there has been diminishing returns. I feel like sort of, I mean, most people probably agree that like James Cameron's Aliens sort of was the peak. And then everything else rushed off.
Downhill. They made a good effort, but
they did.
They did. They tried. Well, let's move on to fantasy. So this is extremely hard for me. I mean, maybe I just don't watch enough fantasy. I mean, Jen, do you watch any? I mean, you've got
Lord of the Rings fantasy. And stuff like that. And
sure, Lord of the Rings is probably the.
Or is that more action? Stable, right? Would you say?
No, I would think that's quintessential fantasy.
Well, earlier you brought up Krull, which I, you know, another 80s movie that I'm obsessed with.
Glaive, dude.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen Krull in years, but it's.
I have sort of it.
Because it's fucking
on my Amazon
unwatchable.
Library.
This is and coming from Darren, that is a huge. Darren's like
massive amounts of weed, and I've tried, man.
It's a
just so
goofy.
I can talk to my friends and make some like you know like put some references in, but it doesn't matter because no one ever gets the references because no one can get through it. But the glaive is fucking sweet.
There's like a three prong blade.
It's like a massive shuriken, you know, and like they all sort of Wolverine out.
Yeah. It returns and how to your do they hand. Even do that? He just like does it mentally or something. And it just listens.
I think he does. I think you're right. I think he mentally controls the glaive. I remember buying the comic book for it. And even that was pretty, it was just like, I can't even read this.
I didn't even know there was a comic book.
Oh, they had a tie-in for that too. Yeah.
I'm actually really excited though, because I don't meet very many people who've seen Krull, and I love that movie as a kid. And side note, also, I really love that.
Tell me what you loved about it. What did you love about Krull?
Oh my God. Just like all the action. I liked all those kind of down and dirty British guys or the Irish. I'm sorry. Like Liam Neeson's in that. Did you know that? It's like one of his earlier movies.
And yeah, it was like he came off of Excalibur and did that. Yeah.
And that other kind of dirty guy that's like a cop in a bunch of movies now, I don't even know what it is. Sorry.
Oh, the bald dude. Yeah, the bald dude who's in Top Gun. He's like, he tells Tom Cruise and Anthony that they're going to go to Top Gun. Yeah.
Yeah. A couple.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, there was lasers and sparks. He
has a laser gun. He has the glaive and he has a sword. I mean, he's just buried with weapons.
It's like half Star Wars, half Legend or something, right?
Action. Yeah. And there's like, you know, multiple landscapes and stuff like that. And I don't know, just like everything about it. But yeah, if you go back and watch it and you're like 40 or whatever, it's not as great as when you were 8.
But it's like 98% of all the content that's out there for sure. I mean,
that's true.
You go back and you look at anything that you loved back in the day. It's just not what it is.
Yeah.
So Dean, what do you got? What are you bringing to the table for fantasy?
I'm gonna dive into the 80s a little bit too. And a little movie called The Sword and the Sorcerer has the hero is Lee Horsley. He's like fresh off of a TV show called Matt Houston, I think, or something like that. But his sword is called the Triple Bladed Sword. And it is, I had to throw it in because it's got, so he can fire two of the blades somehow.
Whoa.
In the middle of 15th or 16th century, wherever this sword and sandal.
Are they like spring loaded? Like blades that would fire out.
It's like he somehow has like compressed gas somehow in the cylinder of it. Like
an early gun.
Yeah. Thing. Yeah. But he can fire two of the swords and it looks, you see the fight scenes and you watch every time that there's a fight scene with it, they slow it way the fuck down.
This is gotta be like 81 or something.
Oh,
right? Like,
oh boy. Yeah. It's 1982, my friend. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is Riff Trax actually does a Riff Trax on it. If you're ever in the mood for those guys on Amazon Prime.
Oh, I'm looking this up because I haven't seen it. And the poster looks pretty dope.
Yeah. The poster's the best thing about it. Just fair warning.
That's it.
Like a lot of those movies, the poster's like kick ass, but yeah. Yeah.
Darren seems to come to you watch just like,
I may have had a lot of time on my hands.
I feel like you and my dad should get together because my dad knows a lot of obscure movies too. So,
but dude, he should. Well, maybe he's the next guest on this show.
Yeah, he would probably know this movie.
But yeah, like Richard Mull from Night Court is the bad guy in it. I mean, you have to sit down and really. But anyway, so it's the weapon, right? It's the sword, and oh my god, dude, it is. It's like 1982. It's got like all of the sort of things about being a ninja sort of wrapped into it. Cause like eventually the sword breaks as you get farther into the movie, but it also has like sort of a switchblade at the end of it, you know, to like really finish off the bad guy at the end. And it's just, oh, it's delightful.
It's just delightful. If you're into that kind of
microwave
thing.
All right, popcorn.
Well, my fantasy, I struggled a long time, and really I did.
And I was stuck.
Okay, good. Well, I struggled with Lord of the Rings and the Ring of Power and Sting, and I just got stuck in Lord of the Rings for a long time. Sure. I was like, okay, well,
Aragorn's sword, right? Yeah.
But I went Dungeons & Dragons and tried to think back of the times that I played Dungeons & Dragons, and I thought about the Ring of Winter. Did you ever So the Ring of Winter is basically allows you to be Iceman, except it allows you to create blocks of ice and shoot ice and do ice-like things, kind of like Iceman does, except in a fantasy environment and in a ring. So
cool.
I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, that's the best I could come up with. I mean,
just going into Spider-Man and his amazing friends, and I'm just thinking about being able to fight alongside Firestar and Spider-Man. I mean, that's pretty cool.
Well, the thing I always loved about Iceman is that in that opening, you know, he can just get. Do you know who Iceman is, Jen? From
not from Dungeons and Dragons. You said it, and I was thinking of the guy from X-Men that he makes. One of those twins.
But there's a cartoon from the 80s, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, where Iceman will shoot ice at himself, and then he will like cover himself with ice, and then break out of the block of ice as he gets out of that.
Yeah.
And I've always wanted to get ready for work like that.
Just spray your clothes on, ice to work.
I guess. Oh my god, you could have used that this summer though. It was really hot, so it could have helped.
Boom, it's got a second. Yeah, it's got a second thing. It's natural AC.
Oh my God.
So does fantasy just suck? Is it just harder to come up with something in fantasy?
No, there's just so much of it. Because, I mean, like, you go to D&D and then I go to the Rod of Lordly Might.
Back in the day, like medieval times. Is that why they don't have a lot of weapons? They just have like swords and stuff?
Maybe. Yeah, there's just nothing that's cool or outspoken or unique. I mean,
because like my second choice was going to be like, you remember the cartoon Dungeons and Dragons?
Yeah,
the Ranger's bow.
Oh,
the Ranger's bow could shoot just like these, right? Like, and that's the point.
To Jen's expression is just sort of like, yeah, oh.
She's like, what the hell?
No,
who cares,
like,
right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, that's smart. You should back away from this. This is no good for anybody.
Well, I haven't seen that either, which seems to be a theme with me. But bows and arrows in general are sort of awesome. So, I mean,
and crossbows. Yeah. But there's no unique, it's not unique to any particular one, right? Which doesn't stick in memory. It's not like it's not like Mjolnir for Thor, right? Where it's like, oh, it's the hammer to end all hammers, right? It's the, we just, fantasy weaponry is just kind of like universal. There's no one specific that you can call out and say it's great, you know?
Right. Cause you'd have to step back from Excalibur, right? I feel like Excalibur was one of the, you know, probably one of the first like super weapons.
Or the ring of power from
Ring of Power, sure.
Make you go invisible. Yeah. All right. Well, let's round it off at the end with our weaponry from comics. And so, Jen, I know you're not going to be able to. Are there any comic characters that you really, you know, jive with, or any weaponry that you can think of in comics?
Kind of. I mean, based on all my movie experience watching the comic book movies, I was going to ask, is a person a weapon? Like the way the alien, you kind of picked that as a weapon.
It could be.
Because
I mean,
Nye has used the alien as his weapon. I think he's opened the
possibilities
door
are endless
for just people now. We were going to use things that people held, and Nye's like,
now
oh,
it's everything.
Really? Yeah. Now
what
it's
if
a
you're,
hamburger.
Oh, what? Yeah, in that same vein, what if your mind's a weapon? Because then I was going to say maybe Jean Grey, because she's got telekinesis psychic and everything, right?
And she has that phoenix force thing that
and then she becomes the phoenix
from time to time, so, which is like an ultimate weapon.
So
yeah,
to get nerdy on you, she becomes the phoenix, and fucks everything up.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, she is kind of like a built-in weapon, right? Are you quoting that X-Men movie, the one where they're like, that was that the Bryan Singer one? That was terrible. I thought that was a bad
movie. I just
think
it's funny that like there's like everyone else has like a code name and she's just Jean Grey. Like there's like Wolverine and Blaster Face and like, you know, and then there's just like this
Jean
person's
Grey
name. Just yeah,
and there's she's Bob.
Just, yeah, and then there's
Ed. They try to keep her under wraps for a little bit, right? Because she was too much. She was too powerful.
And they're just like, don't give her.
I'm gonna blow up the house or something. I don't know.
Don't give her a call sign, otherwise she will.
It's too much for her.
That's gonna do it. Yeah.
Well, great. So, Darren, what do you got for comics weaponry?
For comics, my friend, I am left with a weapon that, if used correctly, can blow up the entire Earth. I'm talking about, of course,
the Death Star.
The Illudium Q-36 Explosive Space Modulator.
What is this?
Technically, that's not really
it
comic.
Is, and that
it's
is
animation.
Shut up, you alien! You pulled alien. So,
Do you know what he was referring to, Jen?
No.
Have you ever seen
the Illudium Q-36 Explosive Space Modulator?
How do you
space
spell
modulate
that?
Where's the kaboom? There's supposed to be.
This is from iTunes.
Yeah,
this is Marvin the Martian.
Marvin the Martian.
Oh, God. Oh, okay.
Bugs Bunny.
Space modulator. Yeah.
Right. Okay, I know what this is.
I feel like I haven't done that voice since like I was 16. I'm like that's I haven't pulled out.
There's no time like the present, man.
No, I just don't have it. I can hear it when I'm doing it. I'm like, that's not a good Marvin.
He's like a later voice though. I always felt he was just kind of. I mean, also, I think he's supposed to look like a Mars warrior. That's why he's wearing that helmet.
Like a gladiator, right?
Yeah.
Right, but he's supposed to be Mars, like he's a Martian.
Right.
And so he's supposed to be a warrior-looking thing. Yeah, like a gladiator. And Marvin
like
the Martian.
A cute warrior.
I just never really got into him as a character. I really did love
Duck Dodgers.
Duck Dodge is in 24th and a half century where they fight each other, but you know, he's not the bad guy that Yosemite Sam is or Elmer Fudd.
Well, I'm not saying that he's the weapon. I'm saying the Illudium Q36 explosive space modulator is the weapon. I'm not trying to like pull a fast one on our many, many listeners and say that I'm adding a person or an monster.
Alien.
Yeah, or an alien.
So it could be three or four.
It's certainly
far more creative and better than anything I got. I was stuck in Mjolnir for a while, and then I was
Mjolnir's fucking rad, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
What's Mjolnir?
It's Thor's hammer.
Oh, you said that earlier. I'm sorry.
Which they blew up in the most recent one, and then
again because it was a good plot device to blow it up. Otherwise, you know, it's the same thing as keeping it.
Right, of course. And then I thought,
are you the god of hammers, Thor? Sorry.
Ooh, that was good.
I had to make up for that shitty.
He does that periodically, and that's why I keep him around. So I thought maybe the symbiote might be an interesting weapon, right? But it's not really.
It becomes Venom, right? The symbiote.
Well, it'll,
what you're saying?
It becomes it's Spider-Man's suit for right. a while.
In case anyone is listening, you just say the symbiote. I mean, we're talking about like the black suit from Secret Wars stuff,
yeah. Right? And I'm not talking about X-Files, which Jen is obsessive over.
I do love
right?
the X-Files and Dakota.
Dude, are there okay? Real quick sidebar: what is there like a really super awesome weapon in X-Files? Because I didn't ever watch that show.
I mean,
ever?
I didn't ever watch that show. I don't know why.
You should start a super and awesome binge weapon. It from beginning to end. Don't go to work because it's really good. I mean, there are some that are sort of lame, and you're like, why'd they even stick that one in the middle?
That's what I've heard. I've heard like, especially the first few seasons are super awesome. Yeah. Right?
They're good. I think also, when was it? Like season, Duchovny drops out and then he like comes back, and that one's pretty good too. So I thought, I mean, it's very up and down. There's some.
And he's replaced with a T-1000. Like he like
yes, the T-1000. Also a bonus. I do like that guy too. So
yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah.
No, I thought in the early, I remember watching the X-Files on Friday nights in college.
That's why, because I was in the service industry. I was always fucking.
Yeah, and then it moved to Sunday nights for the longest period. I mean, it had its ups and downs. It was either like monster of the week or it had a ongoing thing.
Yeah, right, the alien abduction. Deep conspiracy with the cigarette smoking man. I know some of the things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Darren, you would totally dig it. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised I never watched it either.
I don't think they had any weapons. Right. I think
but there wasn't ever like a fantastic weapon or anything.
No,
it was all about their flashlights.
Oh no!
Right?
Wait, had, like, in the movie they had that black goo stuff that like got into people and like changed them. Was that a weapon or was that just more like?
I mean, that's kind of like symbiote. Like, I mean, it's sort of very similar, I guess we can include symbiote and black ooze from X-Files in
under
the last category
right?
to get in the same sort of
That's actually the alien. Yeah.
Right. So a quick recap then of our weapons for this week is sci-fi. I came in with Alien and Darren came in with Decker's. What was it? The letters and numbers that
you could call it the let's see. What are they?
Say 219 in there.
Yeah, it's the 2019. It's the 2019 Detective Special. Maybe it's called.
Right. Okay. And then for
PKD Blaster is another way of calling it.
So fantasy, I came in with the Ring of Winter, and Darren came in with what was yours again?
The triple bladed sword.
The triple bladed sword.
That's right.
Of course, I'll see if I can post links of this on our show notes to get some pictures. In the comics, I said the symbiote, which also covers Jen's X-Files, Black Ooze,
and Black Jello, yeah.
And your comics was the Illudium
Q36 explosion. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, strong showing of our nerdery.
Rarely dust off that much.
This is good.
There's no deodorant on any of this stuff.
A list of things I need to see now. So
fantastic. Yeah. Well, Jen, thanks so much for joining us. I mean,
we love you
more than anything. And thank you so much for the music. Yeah. Where can they go to find more info for our
plug?
Where would they go to? Yeah, yeah.
Well, let me tell you. You can go to heydog.com, which is heydogg.com. That's my website. So you can see samples there and stuff like that. And of course, links to, I think, you in the contact page. I think you're there too. I'll have to double check that though, because I didn't look at it earlier.
And if people wanted to like book you or whatever, like that's where they would do it?
Or
do
you have like a contact page? I mean, I'm pretty easy to find. Like I'm everywhere. I'm on LinkedIn and Facebook and Instagram and like just
you. Of course.
Come to my house. I'm available. Yeah.
Ready? I'll meet you for coffee. Yeah. We will discuss your project.
Yeah. I'll write some music for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah,
she's
thanks.
Great.
It's awesome. Thanks.
All right. Well, you're welcome back anytime, Jen.
Okay. Yep. I'm going to take you up on it too. This is really fun. So
cool. Awesome.
Great. All right. Dee, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come right back.
Are we listening to some Jen Remington on the break?
We're going to listen to some Jen Remington right now.
Oh, thank you.
Jen Remington show. Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back.
Was lovely.
Yeah, that was great. I love Jen. She's always awesome. That was not only was that Jen talking to us, that was just Jen's music. So you can find more of her information, more of her stuff at heydog.com. We're gonna have to have her back, Dee.
I always feel like more of a human whenever I can release all of the nerd knowledge around a female. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's not like in a weird way, but it's just like that way somebody else, like a woman, can hear you say like this is like you think about these things. You think about like laser blasters and swords. You're like 45 and like you think about them a lot.
Right. It's okay that females are accepting us. It's okay, right?
Yeah.
We can think about these things.
Yeah.
Always great to have Jen around. So we're gonna have her back sometime soon for sure.
Yeah.
Darren, before we go out, I wanted to bring up something with you. I have been taking a you know these scooters that are around this.
Oh yeah, dude, we've talked about them a lot. You joined on, have you?
The bird bandwagon? I signed up for a co-working space that's downtown, and I thought, okay, well, fuck it. It takes me, 15, 20 minutes to walk. Maybe I'll just, there's these scooters right here. So I signed up for a couple of apps now. I feel like I've been forced to join it. Once you decide to go scooters, you have to like not just do the bird. You've also got to do Lime. So Uber and Lime are the two that I've been doing. And I have had mixed.
Wait, so Uber has their own plan?
Well, I think Uber bought one, but it's Bird.
Oh.
And Lime are the two that I'm using, but there's also another one called Spin or Scooter.
Just like another bike, or we're here too, or.
So there is no place in Long Beach that you can really effectively ride on the streets. So everyone just rides on the sidewalk. So I feel, fine doing that. But the thing I thought was interesting is that have you ever ridden any of these things? Have you ridden these things before?
No, I have not.
So there's a trigger. You push a trigger down and it if you're lucky, the thing is in a good enough state to be able to move you forward, and it kind of lurches forward and whatever. These are not safe things. They're not well maintained. They're not. And so while I like it in concept and I thought it was
cool. So you're saying it's just like a bike that's been left out all day, right? And it's probably getting like kicked around and
there's a lot of abuse that comes with it. And so you can't really rely. Also, it kind of wobbles and it was shaking. I'm going over, sidewalks.
Rough terrain,
Rough terrain. And of course, they've alleviated themselves from the legality from it by saying you should wear a helmet and you shouldn't go on sidewalks or whatever.
Yeah, but by the time you've swiped your card, they're like, great, man, knock your brains out. It's not.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, exactly. So I've been using them. And while I enjoy getting to work faster, I'm slightly terrified of the direction we're going in.
Yeah. It's funny because in Alameda, I was just reading this on one of the Facebook yell at you pages where you have to prove that you're you live in Alameda to be
you actually live there, right? Sure.
But I guess the police in Alameda have, and this is you can become a charger. That can be a job. You can drive around.
Yeah, you can
and
collect them,
find them, collect them, and charge them.
Yeah.
And they'll pay you. I'm sure it's a great amount of money, whatever that is. And but so you the cops are just taking all of the birds and the limes and they just sort of drag them off to the there's a military base that's being repurposed into housing out here in Alameda on the on one end of the island, and they just dump them.
Just like
they've just been dumping the car and just tossing it, because the charger guy wrote, he was like, so I drove, because you know he's just tracking them on his little app on his phone.
And, sure, yeah.
And so he goes up and he finds them out there, and he sees like a block away, like two of the cops, and they're just like chilling there, like looking at the mountain of scooters or whatever. And man, there's a little bit of conflict there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, well, the beach that is run, Long Beach, the Alameda Beach is the bike path that's here, and the city does not allow. Technically does not allow the scooters to be on the bike path.
Right. Bicycles aren't supposed to be on the on the bike path. I thought you meant sidewalk.
They're supposed to be on the bike path, but like people, of course, do. They rent these scooters and they go up and down. And so the cops have been trying to kick them out. So there's an awful lot of scooters that are just left all over the beach.
Right.
And I was walking with it with my 3-year-old, and I saw this guy, you know, riding a bike and pulling these scooters onto like a wagon that he was carrying behind. And I was like, oh, are you collecting them? And he's like, well, this is my first time. I'm seeing if it's worth it. And like, he just looked so annoyed, like shoveling these things onto his cart going, and then he like loaded them up. And then
he's going to go be a charger. Is that,
I guess. Yeah. I mean, so, I mean, I like it in theory. Anything that gets people to drive less, I like in theory. I feel like this is just a race to collect our money without actually thinking this thing through.
And isn't that what it's based on? It's like, I think the original thought was, right? I mean, you can sort of see it when they're talking in Shark Tank. They're like, you've only got 10 minutes to get to where you're going because of you took public transportation, this or
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you still have the final mile. Right?
You still have the final mile. That's what it's all about. And you need to get there. But like, you know, where's your cab? Where's your Uber? And then there's a scooter. And I don't know, man. Like we've talked about this before. I see him up and down in San Francisco whenever I'm walking to things that I need to go to. And, you know, people riding them run the gambit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it looks sort of fun, but it also, you know, the amount of which – you know, and I sound like a baby boomer, but like the amount of time that people spend on their phones doesn't sway at all when they're on these things.
Oh yeah.
Zipping along at like 17 or 22 miles an hour. And they're just like liking your Facebook post as fast as and hard as they can. And they're just not aware enough, I think.
Larger question, Darren, is just are Californians becoming assholes?
I don't know if it's becoming assholes. I think we're sort of leveling it up. We're like, we're not satisfied with just like plateauing on some like, oh, you guys and your avocados.
We just
and
need
your
more
wines.
Technology.
Yeah, no, we just went like, okay, that's like 1990s. That's the aughts. This is 21st century. This
next
is
next level shit. Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
We're like 17th level assholes in Dungeons and Dragons kind of like. Yeah.
Well, that's our show for this week. We had a full one. This is a good one, man.
Yeah, this is a big fatty download. Thank you for sticking with it. Yeah, if you did. And if you didn't, thank you for sticking for, you know, a while.
Thanks for just listening to us talk to ourselves. We will be back, of course, next week again with more exciting content. So
oh, my God.
Thank you very much for
– We're creeping in on holiday season, so maybe we'll do like a holiday show.
Yeah, who knows where we'll be. All right, we'll see you then. Thanks much.